This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
This show is broadcasting live from the Podcast Detroit studios in Royal Oak, Michigan. For more information about the show or our network, please visit www.podcastdetroit.com.
And thank you for listening to the number one ranked technology podcast on SoundCloud
this week.
You faked me out. You're on a different mic. I had to turn that one down.
Fresh off of us being on terrestrial radio, we are back here live doing our podcast. Episode 158 here in the IT and the D Show, broadcasting live in Podcast Detroit. We got a great guest lineup. We have Christina in the house from Spellbound talking about augmented reality. Davina here from Dices. And last but not least, Tom Kruger here from High and Tight, who invented a beeping football and how not to fumble a football. Should be a fun show. Dave, you may fire when ready.
Oh, I'm ready.
IT and the D presents Real Detroit Heroes.
Real Detroit Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Self-Appointed City Savior.
Mr. Self-Appointed City Savior.
You've taken it upon yourself to be the person who gets to say what's right, but more usually, what's wrong with everyone and everything in the city of Detroit.
You're not the boss of me.
And so you roam around the city like the world's lamest superhero. Captain Counts-A-Lot. In order to run home and tell Facebook of your latest adventures and finding that you're certain will shake people to their very core.
Saw too many white folks.
It doesn't matter if it's a microbrewery opening, a youth hockey game, or even a family's home video. You're right there on the scene to count and count and count.
My friends will work as extras.
But not to actually say anything or speak up. No, you know that your powerful message can only have its maximum impact by being delivered on your Facebook wall, where all your friends who think just like you will give you all the likes you can handle.
It's called an echo chamber.
So here's to you, Mr. Self-Appointed City Savior. Without your efforts, the city might actually be able to move past its racial divisiveness and deep-seated fear everyone has for each other. But Captain Counts-A-Lot must fulfill his destiny.
Mr. Self-Appointed City Savior.
Real Detroit Heroes.
Real Detroit Heroes.
ITinthed.com.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is Max Headroom, and what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now, and remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
You're listening to the IT in the D Show.
Hi, it's Count Chocula, and you're listening to IT in the D. Whatever the hell that is.
God, where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything with that! No!
I used to hang out at the Mugumbu Bar. It was a rough place, the seediest dive on the wharf, populated with every reject and cutthroat from Bombay to Calcutta. It's worse than Detroit.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT in the D.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bunghole?
Exactly. Come on.
Jesus Christ. To hell with this. I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the IT in the D Show.
Hi, this is Ralph Macchio, and you're listening to IT in the D Show. Wax on, you know what.
Bob loves it in the can.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT in the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, John Kreese from the Karate Kid movie. And you're listening to IT in the D.
Yes, Sensei!
Are we at a break yet?
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT in the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds! Nerds!
Nerds!
Nerds! Nerds!
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Hey, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear, that's a fact.
That's why I like it in the can.
Which kind of scares the shit out of me.
Shut up, Barry.
Hello, everybody, this is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men. I'm a techie, I'm a nerd, fellow podcaster. My favorite podcast is IT and the D.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
It's just too big. It's way too big. We got screwed at the same time. Yeah.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team. Should I keep going or should I stop?
We just lost our clean tag on iTunes.
This is Robert Hayes, a Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
My name is Michael Zapsik from AMC's Comic Book Man. You're listening to IT and the D. Come.
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Thank you for listening to the number one ranked technology podcast on SoundCloud. This week, the one, the only, this is the IT and the D Show. We have made it all the way to episode 158, and we are broadcasting here live from the golden towers of a one-story building in Royal Oak, Michigan, known as Podcast Detroit. This is Bob the Sales Guy sitting across from me. It's Captain Soundboard Dave the Geek. To my left, if you're keeping score at home, is Nuri the FNG. Find us online, itinthed.com. Shout out to Randy and Ian, who will be filling up the Twitter sphere with all of our links from what we're talking about today. That's at /itinthed, and give us a like on the Facebook. You can feel free to download our app anywhere, Apple or the Android, Podcast Detroit.
Hey.
Podcast Detroit. And then do us a favor, leave us a review on iTunes. Even if it sucks, we don't care. Just need more, M-O-H-R, more. And then we are, fresh off of our, every time we go into terrestrial radio, it seems like we get a little bit of a refreshed or feel like, thank God we're doing podcasting.
Yeah. I mean, it's always fun. You know, we had Gary and Foster in here Monday night, where I think we rolled for 45 minutes straight with them. And I think that's the equivalent of five segments on a WJR show.
At least.
Oh, yeah, easily. Hey, do us a favor, though. Mark your calendars this Thursday at the Blackfin from 5 to 8. And we do have some bad news. If you're listening, if you're local, we will, Dave and I will not be at the meetup. This will be our first one where both of us are missing. Had a death in the family, and we will be at the wake. So I'm sure you guys will be just fine on your own.
I'll be there.
Yeah, Nuri will be there holding down court.
Nuri wants to come see me, though.
And Ray and Randy both like stepped up and said, you know, they'll be there. They're no regulars. They know everybody, yada, yada. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, life's good.
We don't have an agenda or speakers or cover charges or any of that garbage.
Do I have to buy the same amount of shots you guys do or no?
No. So the head scratcher of the week has to be our nice little town of St. Clair Shores, Michigan. And it's a nice quiet town, boater town, right? So mostly populated in the summertime.
Pretty affluent.
Medium.
Yeah, it depends on which side of town.
But we feel so sorry for these people because their nice quiet park just got infiltrated with Pokemon Go players, and now they have to sue the company that made the game. They don't know what to do.
I read the complaint. It was kind of interesting. They basically said that they could no longer enjoy their property because Google and Niantic and Nintendo have put illegal Pokegems on their property without their consent.
What are illegal Pokegems?
They realize that those maps, like, that they're using long predate Google, right? Like, those maps that they're using in some cases are, like, 30 and 40 years old.
How much – did you see how much – what are they trying to get? Because this is like a total hot coffee McDonald's lawsuit if I ever smelt one. Did you see? I'm just curious as if like
are they going for money themselves? Are they going
millions
for like
of dollars
donations to someone else? Or
right?
You know, I don't know. But the best part of the story in the complaint itself, it says they tried to get a Pokemon Go player off the property. Was told, quote, "Shut up, bitch," or else. So if you're playing Pokemon Go and you want to keep doing it, please do not tell landowners to shut up, bitch.
Well, they got their.
And let's be honest, if you're really getting stared down and scared by a Pokemon Go player,
they're going to throw their phone at you. They will.
Yeah.
They hurt.
Show them a picture of a real live girl. They'll go away.
There's a girl in the house that wants to talk to you. No! Run! No, but you've seen these people. Like, these people haven't been outside in a long time. This is like the classic, like, neckbeard game. You know, like,
oh, it's a stupid money grab. That's all this entire, that's all this lawsuit is. I mean, it's there's not a chance in hell that they really think this is something that's viable. Which again brings me back to my whole thing where there needs to be a panel of five people, two uber conservatives, two uber liberals, and like just a normal run of the mill. And you have to get a majority vote. Like, if you're going to file a lawsuit, it must go before those panel of five people. You must get a majority in order to, before your lawsuit can go forward, or you're done right then and there.
But if you lose, then you got to pay like whatever the lawsuit you sued for.
Dude, I think they're seeking class action lawsuit status, actually, for anyone who has this happen to them anywhere in the country.
What?
Stop.
Just go away.
Get out.
Just turn off your computer. Go home. Delete your account.
Right. Just go off on your boat and shut up.
So another story came out in like one of our favorite topics, Uber. I guess, you know, Uber innovated a little bit.
Taxi drivers are mad again.
And they started – well, what Uber did was you can set up pre-scheduled. So you don't have to like hit the button and get it now. You can actually say, hey, I want to get picked up.
Schedule pickups, yeah.
Yeah, schedule pickups. Like Sunday morning, 7 o'clock, I'm going to the airport. I'm going to set it up now. And then someone can accept it and then pick me up at 7 o'clock on Sunday.
That's my one use case, right? I've always gone through that. Like, should I book a cab or should I roll the dice with an Uber?
Right.
And usually Uber, you find them, especially in my neighborhood, you find them early in the mornings. That's fine. But I get it. That's super good.
But like cabbies apparently are livid about this one.
Are they going to break Jimmy's legs again?
No, but again, it goes back to like what we talked about when like going downtown and like I'd call a cab company. We would go somewhere. This is pre-Uber, an hour and 40 minutes. So, like, you knew, like, if I'm at this bar right now, I call a cab, like, when I walk in. By the time I'm ready to leave, the cab will finally be here.
Right.
Right? And so, boo-hoo, another company comes out and innovates and changes the game.
But they're not as secure as cabs are, Bob.
And they don't, yeah. Do you ever go into a cab? They smell like things.
Well, in the cabbie license, what's the O with the line through it? That's not a letter in...
Where's that?
Which I've ever
seen. Is it Russian?
I don't know.
Is this Russia? This isn't Russia.
It's, I don't know. It's a schwa. A couple of K with a thing over it.
What's a schwa?
An umlaut.
An umlaut, yeah. The upside down E.
No, but Dave's favorite. You know, we love IoT until it's not.
Until it's not. And I feel like we have to cover this story as a public service announcement, if nothing else. There is a company out there that has released the We Vibe 4. Which is let's go ahead and say it's an adult.
You can say vibrator on their air. It's okay.
I was trying to be subtle.
Marital aid.
It's one of them. Neck massagers.
Never saw it.
Never saw
a neck massager drill a hole through a brick wall. But I digress.
But this one is rather unique in that it has a Bluetooth component that can hook up to your phone, and so in theory, either you yourself or someone else could control the modulation, the frequency, the intensity, and all that fun
stuff. This hits kind of close to home because someone in my immediate circle of purview may have one.
There you go. Well, so here's what you need to know. It's connected by Bluetooth, and it phones home. All that data, like anything and everything that like, sucker could possibly know.
Like what kind of data are we talking about?
So that frequency, that intensity.
How hard you turn it on.
Your internal body temperature, let's put it that way.
She's got a fever. We should probably call her and let her know.
Duration of session.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I Yeah.
And what does one do with said data? Is it like the South Park with the Comcast, that one guy with all like the TVs going?
Yeah, the TSA guy.
Right. Yeah.
I would spit my Mountain Dew out.
No, but what do you do with all that?
I don't know. I don't want to know.
They said they're trying to create more innovative products. And if you can trend how many people enjoy themselves, at what point and how hard, you could probably make better products. I kind of get it. But the skeezy thing is I don't think they told people. They didn't tell people that they were doing this.
No.
There was a couple of hackers from DEF CON. That's another story. How do you decide, like, I'm going to study this Wii Vibe to see how it goes? Honey, do you mind if I trend your – I mean, anyway.
No, it's an IoT thing. Like, again, you don't know. And then you sign that – you know, that's the biggest lie on the internet. Except, like, I have accepted the terms
and conditions. I've read the entire terms and conditions.
Right. And I bet you have to click it somewhere when you download the app.
I'm sure.
It's in all of the things and nobody reads it.
Nope.
And then one
checkbox
guy, one guy finally read it and like
I went,
y'all better know about this.
Actually, I'm a data exhibitionist and I want that data shared.
gross.
They could start scoreboards.
No.
Make it interesting.
No.
Can we like Pokemon Go this maybe? Can Niantic come up with something?
There's a poking joke in there somewhere.
I'll preemptively bell that.
God, what we got a whole bunch of other. Let's see.
My favorite, the Olympic pools.
Oh, dude, what in? Okay, so here's again. There's so many things going wrong that just aren't. It's hilarious to me watching like the NBC coverage, and then you flip over to CBC, and it immediately goes from this like rah rah nationalistic pride America thing to. Sorry. Things are a little messed up here.
Just
in
covering
sorry.
Stuff. Yeah.
Sorry. Yes.
But apparently,
children are running through the streets stealing phones from people. Sorry. Sorry.
There was like actual media, like and actually it was like I go, is this like a? I was talking to Nuri and I said, is this
from Ars Technica? It was a headline. Yeah.
And I'm like, straight up, the Olympic pools smell like farts. And I'm like,
and turn green.
Someone was quoted, and it was like Kool-Aid green, like totally like maybe it was a Ghostbusters promotion, like with the the damn high C,
the Slimer,
ecto-cooler. Yeah, maybe it was
an ecto pooler.
This pool is sponsored to you by a high C ecto cooler. Go see Ghostbusters on June 19th. But like they couldn't if they figured out why it smells like farts, because like it's a pool and I understand like the swimmers pee in the pool and stuff, but as I was explaining in Mexico, like it's like, you know, it's like this pool versus the Milky Way in terms of pee versus water, so I don't think it's pee. So what the hell could it be?
Algae?
I didn't mean to rhyme right there. I just did.
Could it be like an algae bloom maybe, or
in a pool?
I was wondering if maybe because the smell and everything, I was wondering because you got chlorine in the pool, if they tried to put some sort of other cleaner in the pool for whatever reason and they started releasing chlorine gas.
But chlorine gas is like noxious. Well, so are Bob's farts. To be fair.
I was like, hanging with Bob after like White Castle and draft beer, it does violate the Geneva Convention.
Can we get a maintenance man for the sewage leak in here? What's going on?
Rumor has I just went down to Mexico. I did not go down to Rio, just for the record.
Just for the record.
Yeah, because you still have your wallet and cell phone.
I do. Yeah, that was another thing. Ryan Lochte, the guy who retired that raced next to Phelps.
Yep.
Apparently taxi drivers got to get pulled over for some gas, and 12 guys come out with automatic weapons and take all his things.
Uh-huh.
And they pretended to be police.
That was another one, yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Without a badge, Olympic athletes are getting robbed now. So that's why all the NBA players, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, all the guys on Team USA Basketball are on a cruise ship, like off land. Like they're like, we're not nothing. And they go in a like gun, bulletproof barricaded cars or whatever. And they're just like, yeah, we're not dealing with any of it.
There was the one guy who got robbed and then actually convinced his robbers to take a selfie with him after. You see this?
No.
Yeah, so basically he was robbed, and then he had the kids wrap shirts around their faces, and they selfied. So there's like 12-year-old kids holding guns with this Olympian. I'm like, sweet.
Ew.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you struggle through all that, and let's say you do happen to win a medal.
Oh, yeah.
You think life's good.
Right. Hang up on the mantle. You got a new place to hang in everything.
Exactly. Life's good. You get this big, heavy lump of metal on a ribbon, which they're not that much different than what my kid just got from his little day camp basketball. But so then you come home, and there's a tax bill waiting for you.
Uncle Sam.
Were you aware that there were tax bills?
So, no. Not only is it a tax – so you get 25 grand if you win a gold.
Yep.
And then it's 15 and 10 if you win a silver bronze.
Yep.
And the medal itself is worth, I think the medal is worth $1,500.
No, the value of a gold medal is $564.
Okay.
Which is less than a half ounce of gold.
So you're actually getting a tax bill on the cash is one thing, but you're getting it on the $564, which is a gold medal.
So 30% probably, right?
What max tax, yeah.
Oof.
But here's the thing that gets me. It's like U.S. is one of – I didn't know this either. It's kind of sad. U.S. is one of the few countries that like pays for funds these Olympic athletes. So a lot of these Olympic athletes like for the U.S. are broke as a joke because they're training 6-8 hours a day, right? They'll be like, what are you going to get a job, right? They're all homeschooled. You saw that, like all the gymnast stories. They tell them to drop out of school and you're doing gymnastics full time. It's pathetic. Of all the years we've had, like we've had good, bad, and different presidents, but I think they've all been pretty level-headed. You'd think one of them would just be like, guys, let's make this tax free or at least like fund it or something. Like of all the stupid crap we fund, we can't take care of this one.
Let's gross your medal up just by 30%. We'll gross it up. It's fine.
Whatever, right? Or pay for it. Just a lot of stuff infuriates me. That's one of them. They're like, you know, hey, congratulations. Oh, here's a bill. It's kind of like Oprah. You get a car. Everyone gets a car. And you get a tax bill.
And you get a tax bill.
You know what grinds my gears?
I just found out this is the thing. Bob, how do you feel about us syndicating the Hillary Clinton campaign podcast?
That's fine.
Toilet.
No, but it's. I think it's kind of monumental like for the podcast industry like that she's the first presidential candidate to actually have a – quote unquote, official podcast. You know, any way you can get to your constituents, I guess.
Haven't presidents always kind of done that like Sunday night fireside chat?
Well, but that's a president, not a presidential candidate.
Okay. All right.
Right. And even a fireside chat, that was on like back in the 60s, that was on TV.
Well, they did like Sunday night radio addresses even for a long time.
And sure.
Is Obama still doing that or is that a podcast now too probably?
I think it's just a C-SPAN thing. Whatever nobody watches, I think that's the one. But like for the fact that her campaign came out and said they're going to do an official like me and Dave talk about it all the time. He found someone at his work that they've got an official podcast. So, I mean, you're seeing like these major corporations are putting their training materials, they're putting their sales pitches are putting their presentations now in consumable formats. It's cool.
I think we'll still have better numbers than Hillary will.
Oh, I'm positive of that. And yes, we're fine. We can syndicate it. And I guess kind of another cool story that I kind of liked. This is something I was near and dear to me. Detroit Public Schools. If you want to go to community college, they're going to pay for it.
That's awesome.
And I think that's freaking great. Like I always said, the 2 years of like community service and like I wish military could drop down in 2 years.
Yep.
But like, hey, this is just to get you a head start. Go to trade school. Learn something. Like the drastic like needs in like plumbing and electricians and carpentry. It's crazy. So you can get a head up and go to – but then I found out only 50 kids enrolled. And you're like, ah, you're like, yay, ah.
Yeah, but it's one of those, you know, the same conversation we had with Michelle from Comcast. You know, is it a question of acceptance or adoption? You know, do they know about it? Is it, you know, I mean, yeah.
But it's a good start. I'll leave it at that. It made me happy.
We've said it a million times. I mean, and it was the what was it? Matt Squared that was basically kind of trying to do that with the German model.
Yeah,
You know,
work 6 months, go to school 6 months.
Sorry, get an apprenticeship, yada yada, move on. I mean, because let's be realistic, those first 2 years of college really.
You took – no, like I remember I had the conversation about math being dropped and I said, yeah, I asked him what my – I was a business major. I didn't need math. So I was like, what are my
– Thank you, Ken Lay.
What are the worst or the lowest two maths I need?
Enron. Sorry. Oh,
wow. And they're like, you need trig and you need geometry. I'm like, great. I took that in 7th and 8th grade. I'll sign up for those. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no, I want to have calculus too because, you know, like, no, I don't want to – like, why would I want to do that? Why would anybody want to do that?
It's beyond me. But no, I mean, it's true. I mean, like I said, especially that first 2 years, it's all of the nonsense, BS, figure out what you actually really want to be when you grow up. I mean, I've always halfway said it's dumb on many levels to have kids at 18 try to figure out what they want to do and go up to their eyeballs in debt, you know, for the rest of their lives at 18.
Well, you look at your major.
Oh, yeah. Like, biochem, theater arts.
Right.
Big man.
I first wanted to be a stockbroker, and then I wanted to be a physical therapist or sports medicine. And then I took a biology class and didn't like it.
You didn't like it, or it didn't like you?
Both. And then I was working at the mall, and I was working at Budweiser in sales, and I just said, "I screw it, I, you know, kind of like the sales thing," and away I went. But again, yeah, you don't know. You start throwing darts, and what happens if you know, all the philosophy degree majors out there, right? Like, what are you doing?
You're majoring in French,
right?
Speaking of heartwarming stories, how many times have you guys been at a rest stop and seen a number or something scrolled on a wall, or maybe at a club? For a good time, call Donna.
867-5309.
Exactly.
I'm a big fan of the Love Struck stops on the way to Chicago, yeah.
It's great, but, but just imagine.
I'm not going to lie. At first, I was like, where is this story going, Nari?
That time that I was at that rest stop and a lot of weird things happened. But there was a story out of the United Kingdom this week where a guy actually texted the number. It said, for a good time, call Donna at this, or want a good shag. And so the guy texts the number, and now they're married and have two kids.
Apparently the guy put up his ex-wife or ex-girlfriend's number and said, oh, hopefully guys will mess with her. And he said, like, hey, so what's up?
So he texted, hey, what are you up to?
Yeah. So, like, the people, like, they won't tell anyone how we met. They said it was a forgotten text. Wasn't that how Terry met his wife? It was a wrong number, and he started talking to her for like 8 hours, not from a bathroom wall, but like somebody called his house.
See, I'm not here to judge.
Like somebody called his house, and he's like, hey, so-and-so there. Like, you got the wrong number, but you sound kind of hot. And they talked for like 8 hours, and they got him getting married. Yeah. No, the weirder things have happened. I met my wife at the Hayloft liquor stand on quarter draft night. I mean, look, weird
things
have
happened.
That's
how a lot of marriages got started.
I met my wife on Tinder.
You did not.
Yeah. I think we have one. Yeah.
All right, so hey, this next segment is going to be brought to you by Lenovo. We'll roll into that break in just a sec. So mid-roll topic, so it's all about cloud infrastructure. Imagine you have house guests coming, but only one bedroom. What if you could order an extra bedroom for your guests that you could remove after they leave? That's the idea behind Lenovo's next generation data centers built for cloud computing. You see, the cloud is all about giving your company the ability to expand and contract server space on demand without actually adding more hardware. Lenovo understands Lenovo understands that on-demand access can give your company a tremendous competitive advantage. Think about it. The faster you can scale up, the faster your dev team can test new applications, and that means you can get new product features into the market faster. But that kind of flexibility is worthless if your servers are down. Like we said last week, Delta. Lenovo servers are number one in reliability and performance because you don't have time for downtime. Feeling handicapped by proprietary hardware-software relationships, Lenovo systems allow you to partner with leading software providers to ensure your cloud solution is best in class. Lenovo systems can even integrate with legacy software platforms to help get your cloud solution up and running quickly. So learn more about how Lenovo is transforming the data center at www.lenovo.com/data center. That's www.lenovo.com/data center.
We're hanging out with Don Frame. He's the brand director for North America for Lenovo. And we're hearing all these things about Lenovo has an innovation center. And basically, it's almost like building prototypes like a concept car 10 years out. Now, when we sit here and talk, we always talk about Minority Report, right, the movie. And we can't believe things that in that movie are already coming true. What are some things being worked on in the Innovation Center, and how is it relative to any movies coming out in the future? Just to tie that back.
Well, and how do you make that bridge between, you know, Lenovo? People typically think of, you know, a laptop or software in the data center. You know, what are you doing building concept cars?
Yeah, that's a good question. Now, let me address your last part first, because if you think about Lenovo, you know, we have always had a culture of innovation. You know, we started, this was, you know, an IBM business that we bought. They innovated and created the first ever laptop. The parent company, Lenovo, was also an innovator of lots of different technology. We've come together, and that culture has not only survived but actually grown. And if you even look what, you know, we're doing in the PC side, you know, who thought you could continue to innovate in PCs? But we've done it. We figured out how to have strength and lightweight things at the same time. You think about our X1 Carbon line, where we have
that's my laptop
strong, yeah, right, super strong materials, but light, much lighter than a aluminum-based laptop, for example, from some of our competitors. A lot of our focus on innovation is around enabling and actually delivering an automated, dynamic, software-defined data center. So we're doing a lot of things to disaggregate hardware from software, and be able to have software then dynamically control all of the assets that's available to it in infrastructure and use those as it sees fit to bring up and find and automatically move workloads from one thing to another to dynamically control utilization.
Very cool. So, Donald, where do we go find more information out there about specifically what Lenovo has going on in the data center operation space?
Well, it's really easy. Go to one URL. Go to www.lenovo.com/data center. Pretty straightforward, and you'll get information on what we're doing to innovate and you know what we're doing to kind of have that integrated data center.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. So, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland, Secret Life of the American Teenager, and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And, oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D show.
Welcome back. Segment 2, episode 158. This is the IT in the D show, and we are broadcasting live here in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. It's Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Find us online, itinthed.com. Don't forget, mark your calendars. This Thursday, we will be at the Blackfin in Royal Oak, Michigan, where it all began.
Well, the Imperial Wee.
Well, sort of. Until it got good. 5 o'clock until question mark. Like we said, myself, Bob, and Dave, we're not going to be there. But Nuri will be in the house, and a whole bunch of other folks will be able to hold down the fort.
Well, yeah, Ray and Randy stepped up, and yep. Yeah, there's plenty of regulars.
I'll be fairly saucy, too, so if you want to see me in rare form, come on out, because I'm going to the Tigers game earlier. Unless my boss is listening, when I'm going to have a fever. So.
And that's when IT and the D came crashing down.
Right, right.
Because Saucy Nuri went to Blackfin.
Good. Hey, when you're in a suite, you have to get saucy. This segment of the IT and the D show is brought to you by our friends at Igloo. As you know, work is no longer a location. Teams can be together half a world away. Nuri is a prime example of that. Your team is scattered all over the planet.
All over the country. Then I've got two guys in India, totally.
Craziness. Igloo's a modern internet designed to keep everyone on the same page so you can share files, have real conversations in real time.
I can't even get people in the same office to admit they're reading the same book.
Who moved my cheese?
And you do it all on the same page while being able to use all the apps you currently use like Box, Google Drive, and Skype. Igloo brings everything together, creates a single destination that lets you focus on your work. Put simply, Igloo is an internet you will actually like. Do us a favor. Try it today. IgloSoftware.com/IT in the D. No coupon code, Dave. Sorry. That's IgloSoftware.com/IT in the D.
Good. No coupon code.
We like Igloo. Igloo's a good company.
Yeah, they are. It's kind of cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So we are joined by none other than Christina. We knew you from a different company before that we're not allowed to say, but now... It is from a company called Spellbound.
Yes.
And it's when you ask, like, what do? Christina, like, I do augmented reality. So for the kids playing at home, let's talk about what that is and let's dive into what you're doing.
Augmented reality, pretty much just Pokemon Go.
That's it?
No, that's the only thing that counts. We create experiences that are digital that can be layered on top of the physical world so you can experience the real and the unreal at the same time. And we primarily do this for kids' content. So, like, picture books.
Because no one really wants to think about that with adult content.
No.
No.
No. I've had many offers.
Those WeVibe people from the first segment might be.
Yeah. They've been texting me already. No. So we do it for kids' books, or we create these card systems. And so we bring them to 3D life, and hospitals use it to distract kids during painful or scary procedures. So kind of getting kids focused on the ooh factor of the augmented reality.
Very
and
cool.
Not focused on the unpleasantness of treatment.
I remember seeing it the last time, but like, for example, I got three kids under the age of 12. Mm-hmm. All right. The other ones are the older ones are reading like, you know, Diary of a Wimpy Kid and Hobbit and things like that. The little one, though, is still all about the picture book. So basically what this thing looks like is you're putting an iPad, you know, tablet, phone over the top of the book And in essence, like, this whole thing, like, almost turns into, like, a movie, right? Where the,
yeah.
it comes to life and...
Yeah, like, it holds it over. It does image and text recognition. It knows where you are and what book, well, the ones that we create and have proper permission to do, of course.
Ah.
And then...
I remember those conversations.
Right.
We got in a little trouble before. But, yeah, and so the characters can leap out in 3D. Kids can interact with the printed page like a tablet, so touching words and seeing images brought up when they're touching things on the paper page.
So I know this is, like, a really big thing now, Microsoft and HoloLens.
Yes.
That is a very big example of augmented reality. I think Google Glass as well. So you're integrating with iPads and other Android or iOS-based devices, or
Android and iOS, tablets and smartphones. So anything that has a rear-facing camera and enough, pretty much any most devices have enough processing power to do AR these days. We do have a HoloLens. We got a dev kit. And we do serious work with the HoloLens. We just play the games most of the time.
Right, exactly.
But, but it's important when you're in the hospital environment to kind of explore all the options. So some kids can't wear something on their face. They have tubes or they have eye patches or, you know, there's stuff going on that they might not be able to wear a headset. And some kids can't hold up a device. They're exhausted or they don't have...
VR goggles scare the crap out of me anyway. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Yeah, and in many ways...
My kid wants the $1,000 one. There's no way.
No. You know, I'm a little bit biased, but I think AR doesn't represent as much risk with some of the VR goggles. You know, you're still aware of your real surroundings. There's less chance of some of the nausea and
I remember
effects.
Lawnmower Man when I was a kid. It, like, scares the crap out of me.
Job.
Exactly. So I was thinking of the guys at SourcePoint. Like, at what level are you? Like, the guys that – there's a local company that publishes comics. Right, we have actually a couple authors that are in this other studio right now across the hall. I was just curious, like, have you broken into comics yet, or are you still focused on kids' books? I mean, where?
I would love to do comics. That's pretty much what I want to do. There's a little thing called Magic Leap out there, and they're going to have the comics area cornered when they come to market, I think. But kids are...
Unless we introduce you first.
Yeah. How'd that go? It's a race. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. Devilish, devilish, devilish.
Yeah.
I know a guy who knows a guy.
You know, before Pokemon Go hit, kids are like just... Everything in the world is magic to kids, right? Like,
right.
They believe it's possible. You show, I'm sure you guys have seen this too. The first time you show an adult augmented reality, they're like, either like, wow, or witchcraft. You know, like, it's...
This is trying to steal my soul.
Yes, exactly. So I think Pokemon Go has helped get over that hump. But when we first came to market, like, the kids' arena was just much more receptive and open to that. And also, a lot of comic fans don't want you messing with their stuff too. Like, your interpretation of it is not going to be the best. So.
Oh, I forgot about that can of worms.
See, but I think that actually might be a bonus, because who's the cranky fanboy audience? The Marvel DC world.
Right.
So you get slide right into SourcePoint, which has that. See?
Okay.
Might have a thing there.
Right. Nice. Right.
Work it for me.
So are you developing did I hear that right? You're writing your own books?
No.
Okay.
No, we do not have those skills.
Okay.
Tech companies.
Now you're getting permission, though.
Yeah. We've decided a good route to go was to get permission from the copyright holders. So we work with authors and publishers to get permission. Now,
how's that sales pitch go? Like, are they pretty receptive, or do you got to, like, hard sell them?
Independently publishing authors, super receptive. In fact, they come to us.
Okay. Dude, I would push people out of the way to have my book, leap off the page.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And it's so hard to market self-published books. Like, you're in a sea of 4 billion books coming out each year. So to distinguish yourself, like, this is a really unique marketing and sales channel. And especially, you know, hospitals buy large numbers of paper books because in many cases when a kid touches it, you can't sterilize paper. So hospitals have giving libraries where the kids take the book home. And, you know, what author doesn't want their book comforting a child in the hospital and being brought home? Publishers are a little more conservative about trying out new technologies. They, you know, we've had some cool talks with some big publishers, and they're on board. They believe AR is an amazing digital future for publishing, but really want to see proof that it's going to, you know, boost book sales and be a longer term.
So walk me through the process. You turn on the iPad, right? Book comes to life, per se. Is it interactive?
Yeah.
Or is it just like the things do what they do?
Yeah, it's totally interactive. So it might do most of the books we have a narration component, so the story can be read to the child for the kids who are pre-readers. That can be turned off. Kids, so they'll see the characters. They can interact with the characters by touching the screen or on touching the paper page. And it, you know, we have all different kinds of things. Sometimes kids just want to like spam things over and over again and trigger things, or we'll layer in, you know, educational stuff like fun facts about the animals in the story, or, you know, add additional content. We can attach videos, still images, but most of the time we do 3D or 2D modeling and animation on top of the books. So that's essentially with the books. With the, we create these card systems that are pretty cool too. So like when therapists are wandering through the hospital, it's really quick to pull out of your pocket a single card, then carry around a bunch of kids' books. So we make these postcard size things that create like whole virtual worlds on top of it, where it provides like really dense interactions in a single card. And we have another card system where each card is a single animal. And if you a therapist might give a kid a card for a blood draw, and you know, this is a symbol of you being brave and, you know, your journey through treatment. And then they might get another one if they have to be catheterized, or they might get another one if they have an X-ray or an MRI. And the cards interact are augmented themselves, but when you put them together, they interact. So as a kid collects them, they can create virtual worlds.
Dude, that's so cool.
A way of like marking their bravery and journey through their treatment.
So has the education field picked up on this yet? I mean, I could see this being like a great K through six tool.
Yeah. We've had some really cool tech savvy teachers come after us saying it when we've got coverage, or just like finding us online and are using it. And there, we have about 10 classrooms across the U.S. just trying it out. We don't right now, we're focusing on hospitals, but like, you know, so we just give it to the teachers to try out and get that feedback, because I think that is a market we can go into eventually. But as a startup, limited resources, we need to focus.
I mean, God, think about teaching your kids how to read with something like that, right? So basically, you know, if you take microphone input and I mean, you sound out the words. Okay. And it's following as the little ball is jumping over the words. I mean, the technology is so cool. How's your process to create that? Do you work with the authors? Do you guys kind of put together your own stories, or how do you make that author's vision into this like world that the kids are seeing?
Some authors have vision and around that. Some it's like really hard for them to imagine what an augmented reality experience is. They might imagine like more in terms of a movie. And then when we say, well, how would you interact with it? Then they're kind of, you know, at a loss. So oftentimes we work with the author. We might suggest something about what is the extra content on top of this. It's not just maybe a literal interpretation of the book, but you're trying to encourage imaginative play. But some authors really like, I wish I could have fit this in before. Or I've always wished that I could continue the story after the last page, or let the kid insert themselves into
George
the book.
George Lucas should be all over this. There were always supposed to be do-backs. Yeah. Always.
Can you text him right now? Because I need to talk to him.
I got him.
Not him, but three of the people that work for him, I might be able
Dave
to.
Dave actually has his number, just like, you know, he calls him late at night. Hi, George. Hangs up. You know.
George.
Hi, George. Hangs up.
That would be something I would do if I had
totally.
It.
Totally.
So I guess that's a good question. So like do you think you've really hit your stride with the hospital market? I mean, is that where you're kind of just going to go ahead and focus primarily on now? Or like what's next? Where do you want to play other than SourcePoint? Because I just dropped him a note.
Yeah, thanks. After SourcePoint and George Lucas, world domination. Really we're just going to market now. We hit the market at the end of May. Did a few trade shows.
Is so funny because, you guys were on December of 2014. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. We thought we had a consumer app at first, and we still do, but really the hitting the hospital market was a total accident for us. We were out doing customer discovery, just interviewing parents about their tech habits in their home to understand how we were going to market to consumers this thing that would bring kids' books to life. And one of the parents was a child life specialist, one of these therapists in the hospital. And when she saw it, she immediately saw applications to her day-to-day work and introduced us to her boss and then, you know, so-and-so. And next thing you know, we're in C.S. Mott Children's Hospital at the University of Michigan. So that was really that market finding us in the sense. So we've been working with those child life specialists there to figure out how to develop in a hospital environment. And we're just hitting that market now. So that right. will be the next few years. We'll run some tests in schools just to kind of keep our toe in the water. But
And the whole idea around the hospital stuff, too, is like let those parents, when they take that book home, give them that experience to bring home as well with their kid to continue that positive experience from the hospital. And so that way it's kind of seeding our consumer market. We're getting people that are starting to take it up and maybe talk to their other parent friends.
Yeah, kids sitting in a park with it, kids who have the birthday party and it comes out, that kind of stuff. No, absolutely.
So that's our focus now. You know, in the future, we'd like to hit the education market. That'd be amazing. We want to do other things with it, too, like let kids create their own AR experiences and contribute it back to the platform, you know, share it with other kids. One way, you know, kids in – you're in a hospital ward and you're 12 and there might be like 50 other kids on your floor, but you can't interact with them. You can't play with them. And it takes away that, the coolest part about being a kid. And so if we can create a virtual world where they can interact and play with each other in a safe, sterile environment, like these are some of the directions we want to go in for them.
I'm sure you've watched this, right, before. So you've probably been in hospitals watching kids play with this. The reactions, is it better from the kids or from the parents? Who's more excited about the cool that is this technology?
It's both, really. Kids adapt really quickly, and they're not afraid to fail. So they're trying crazy stuff. So you see them doing – and, you know, the occupational therapists that we talked to are like, this is the coolest thing ever. That kid wouldn't raise his arm to his shoulder level. And we have to get them to move so that they can get healthy and go home. And now he's, like, waving his arms all over the place. And parents are usually like – and push the kid out of the way to, like, give my turn. So that's kind of fun to watch, too. But, yeah, it's – we had one guy, we were exhibiting at CES, and one guy like burst into tears and was like a grown man. And I'm like, I don't know how to handle this, but
I don't know how to react to this situation.
Yeah. Awkward, but cool. So you get like this crazy range of emotion. And some people will say, like, I've been dreaming about this my whole life as a kid. That's all I wanted were my books to come to life. And I don't mean a movie, like literally the book to come to life.
Right.
And so it's we get cool reactions all around.
That's cool. So if a kid takes this home from the hospital, it will still work at the home,
yes.
Right? So you're basically, I hate to say that, licensed. You're licensing it to the hospital?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then what we do is whenever a hospital buys the books from us, we just put a sticker on it for the parents so that they don't have to pay. You know, we have in-app purchases to get experiences with the app so that those parents, like they've been through enough, just go ahead and download it and use it with the book that the hospital gave you.
That's super cool.
Well, and that's actually the follow-up that I was going to have is so like that experience once they're home, how do they go ahead and get additional stuff? And I guess the corollary to that is kid comes over, sees this. Are you ready for that consumer play? Whereas, hey, I saw this over at little Johnny's house. I want one. How do I get it?
Yeah, we are so ready for that.
Please, little Johnny.
Please, little Johnny, tell all your friends. Yeah. We've been, you know, because we started out as a consumer app, we built that out first, that capability. And really, it's been adapting to the hospital environment, you know, being able to operate in a place where maybe there's interference with signal or, you know, and limitations of devices. Not everybody has super fancy new devices.
Right.
So just and also the experience for the kids, making sure that it's not too taxing on in a situation where they're already stressed or exhausted or in pain or something. So, we are totally ready for we would love if the consumer market would blow up with that.
Very cool.
That's cool. So how the books that you have so far augmented, are these just really basic kids' books or are there more, young adult kind of things? Or are you going to take it that way or kind of where are you at
now? Yeah, we started with a younger age group.
Nuri's hoping for Twilight.
Yes, I'm like, oh my God, I can interact with Edward. He's sparkly.
Mary, we have our secret private stash on the side. Just talk to me later. No. Yeah, so we started with little kid books, 4 to 8. That's just – it's easier. It wasn't easier. It was low-hanging fruit for us. Like, you know, images and text combo don't change no matter what format the book is printed.
Right.
So it was a good way for us to start and really practice being an augmented reality company. And we actually started with some experiments of different art styles to make sure that the AR would trigger well. And we didn't think that we were going to go to market so quickly. We thought we had more time to do a wider range of content, but we haven't gotten there yet.
If you could get Llama Llama mad at Mama, my 2.5-year-old will love you forever.
Oh, put it
I had to buy her a stuffed llama because she likes that book so much. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Llama,
the
llama,
only
red pajamas.
Yeah.
Huh?
Llama, llama, red pajamas.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's the sequel. Yeah. It's the, yeah.
Our number one request is everyone poops, and we're just not doing that.
Please?
Then Bob would be excited.
Yes. And then Bob would be buying it.
No, I'll fund it. I'm going to throw that out there right now on the live radio. The gas we pass and everyone poops. If you can do that, I'll fund whatever it takes to create that. Why would you not?
Deal.
I will cash in my 401k.
I'm going to get a five-figure bill and I'm like, oh, shit.
Five.
Sucker.
Yeah, right? Wait, see the licensing agreement.
We'll talk offline.
How about it'll be lots of people crap? That'll be the knockoff. Yeah.
I do want to make everyone poops the movie. I think we get rights to that.
So if I wanted to like go get a book and start this, can you mention any of the titles that you have that are readily available that I could basically dry run this with?
Yeah, Sleep Sweet by Julianne de Blasi-Plack. It's a calming book. Bedtime book where a little girl says goodnight to a bunch of animals and, you know, different landscapes. And so, you know, we chose that book because it was a very beautiful art style, but also, you know, a lot of times you got to get kids really calm before a procedure. You know, imagine wheeling down a surgery. You need them, like.
So give them new technology they'll get excited about. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally.
And lots of Xanax. Right,
lots of Xanax. Well, that one is not a lot of interactions. So It's a lot of she had music composed for it and a lot of soft, gentle animations. But then we got Albert the Confused Manatee, and that's by Christopher
I love manatees.
Straub.
I grew up in Florida, and manatees are like my spirit animal.
Who doesn't love a manatee? And that one is like much more interactive and very different art
doesn't
style.
He run a local blog, Albert the Confused Manatee?
Local celebrity.
He works at the bowling alley down the street.
Yeah. So, so those two are available on Amazon. You can pick those up and you can check it out on our website as well.
And so if I wanted to go grab these books, how much does it cost to add that augmented experience for a book?
Right now, for the low, low introductory rate of 99 cents per experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. I just downloaded the app, actually. I just saw it was 99 cents.
Okay. I brought some cards, so you can play with it.
Totally, yeah.
You can use it to distract Bob anytime you want.
Right.
Here, Bob, play with this.
He's got Pokemon Go and Clash of Clans. He's good. He doesn't need any more distractions.
So finding the app it was like the second one down when you type in Spellbound.
Finally.
So it's Spellbound AR.
Yes.
That's how you find you, not the one that is the game.
No, not the witchcraft game. We're the children's content.
That was on Android. I don't know how about it. Same thing with Apple too, right? It's
Spellbound AR.
Spellbound AR. And it's a free app to download, even though it asked me to take control of my calls on my phone. So I'm sure. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be dialing out to like the publishers of Everyone Poops going, will you? If we need it.
Here's my credit card number. License this for.
Right. Exactly. But how do we find you online?
Website is getspellboundbooks.com. Spellbound.com was too expensive to get. Hit us up on the website. You can see what books are there, how to download the app. We got videos of it being used and kids using it in hospital. There's some free content in there as well. We had a mark. Yeah, there you go.
This is cool. I mean, your screenshots on the iOS store, I'm like, oh, my God, this is so cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Wow. Everyone's holding it up and sharing. It's beautiful. I'm glad because I had to actually wipe down my dining room table to take that screenshot.
It's a very nice dining room table you've got there.
But, hey, Christine, appreciate spending time with us.
Some of the coolest technology I think we've had on the show in some time.
Wait till you see it in action. We saw it in action when she had it when it wasn't even a company yet.
Oh,
we were mind-blown with how awesome it was.
Yeah.
This is like, and now that it's kind of all grows up a little bit, like, you know, can't wait to see what's next.
I think maybe that's the cycle we need to follow. Like, we need that, like, a year and a half after we first have somebody in, and we need to start circling back with them because that seems to be that arc.
Or they went away, which we knew from a couple folks that.
Yeah, there's that too.
But I'm
yeah.
glad you're still around. Christina Spellbound, appreciate you coming
Thank
out
you
with us.
Very much.
We are going to be back next segment with Coach Tom Krager from a company called High and Tight with is it an IoT football? Kind of a cool little story. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
IT in the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. one beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
IT in the D presents Real Detroit Heroes.
Real Detroit Heroes.
Today, we salute you, social media warrior.
Social media warrior.
Your friend posted a status update about a bad experience at a restaurant, and so you go full Rambo.
I'm a keyboard commando.
Never mind that you're only getting one side of the story. Your friend was clearly horribly wronged, and so you have to take up the cause.
Watch me help him, buddy.
Normal people might want to at least find out the facts before blindly sharing a Facebook post that slams a local business, but your friend said to share it, so you did.
I share because I care.
And if it turns out your friend was completely wrong, well, that's not really your problem. You were just being a good friend. Right?
What's a repercussion?
So here's to you, social media warrior. Your keyboard courage and fake reviews claiming the food gave you diarrhea and how rude everyone at the restaurant was, even though you've never set foot in it, are surely making the world a better place.
Social media warrior.
Real Detroit heroes.
Real Detroit heroes.
IT in the D, Networking Detroit, one beer at a time. ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
Welcome back. Segment 3, episode 158. This is the one and only IT in the D Show broadcasting live here in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy, hanging out with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Find us online, itinthed.com, because we are IT in the D, and you
still are not.
Nice try, Skippy.
We haven't
said that in a while.
No, we haven't. I feel like – so we're here in our Podcast Detroit studios, and we have yet another new show that went live tonight. We're up over 70 now. Like, that's – Bob, that's a thing. Like, we launched the Stupid Network a year ago.
50 is a thing. 70 is like, oh, my God.
Yeah, so that's a thing. Anyway, dive on in.
So it's all about, what, 100 hours of weekly content?
We can fill an entire week now with live show plus replay of that show.
For like 24 hours.
Yeah.
For the whole week.
Yeah.
No Sanford and Son reruns.
No. No.
But hey, we are joined. We got lucky and we got able to be joined by Coach Tom Crager from a company called High and Tight, built a – like almost like a tool to help people stop fumbling, like for football.
Yes.
And
yes.
I don't know. Is it an IoT device? Do we call it that? Or is it just simply a device?
I say it's a football training device.
So the data doesn't go shooting back to a computer and you can check, you know.
No, we started out with that whole pressure mapping fabric and all that pressure gauges and how much they were doing on. And it got too advanced, not applicable to the market, not applicable to the coaches, the kids that were training with it.
But could it tell what temperature I was?
It could tell the duration of which you were doing it, though.
So the name High and Tight, I know it very well. Some of our listening audience might, like Dave especially, because he's a hockey guy. But like, where does that come from?
I thought you were going to go with the Marine Corps.
Oh, no.
I was thinking haircuts.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I wasn't.
I'm prior service, and my uncles are Marines, and I served in Desert Storm. And so when I bought that name, and it wasn't too expensive, as you alluded, I bought it from a Marine off of GoDaddy.
Okay.
And I told him the concept. He's like, oh, it's a great one. Hoorah, you know. And so we now ran with it. It's a term that's been around football for decades.
Yeah, I was going to say, I knew it from football.
Yes. And it's always been, I don't know who coined it, but we now copyrighted it. And
it's basically how to hold the football so you don't fumble.
Yes. It's the whole idea that it's not the high that's a big thing. You can talk to anybody in the world. It's the position of the ball. There's a great debate. But there's no debating the fact that it's pressure. It's tight to the body. That's the most important part. We call it closing the gap. When you watch Amir Abdullah,
right,
a great running back,
right,
and he makes that lateral step and that ball's out here.
Yep. They call it the loaf of bread, carrying it. Like you know, don't carry like a loaf of bread. Carry, you know, make sure that thing's
tight in that body. Yeah, squeeze it.
So what does your football, quote-unquote, do?
Well, a couple things. First, it teaches you proper form, because I had a leather guy teach me about a football during the production of all this. And he said, you know, I told him what I want to do, and I grabbed it. And he's like, you're carrying it the wrong way, son. And I said, well, I'm 40-some years old, and they told me the wrong way. And he's
right.
He said, no, when you're on it and the seam of the ball is into your body, that's the backbone of the ball. You cannot compress a football when the seam is tight between you and your body. He goes, when you're going to clamp down it because you see somebody tackling you, the ball is actually going to rotate in your hand.
Right.
And therefore creating an unequal hole in the ball and literally moving the ball. And that compounded with force creates the fumble. And I'm like, you're kidding me. So I started going back, and what all coaches do, you watch film.
Sure.
I go back and watch film. Like, we had one fumble last year. We went from 11 at Northwood to 4. And the one kid, he's, coach, I had it high and tight. And he did. He was on the seams. And he clamped down. That ball rotated, and the kid hit him. It was simultaneous. And I was like, this is eerie. I got goosebumps, you know. And so it's true.
It's amazing what happens when you talk to somebody who actually knows what they're talking about.
Right.
Yeah. Football coaching, no football. Leather guys, no leather.
Yeah.
And so I've been teaching this to guys across the country, and they're like, I've never heard that. You know, an older gentleman, you know, esteemed colleagues, you know, they're like, that's a great point. Now, what's the key? I go, I'd always say, you know, the cross is the key to life because of Jesus. And then, but X marks a spot in football. So you create an X between the fingers. And then you flatten your palm because you want surface area contact. And then you drive it to your body, and it makes the beep. So you know it's here. You
okay.
Condition yourself to do that. And it's very simple. There's no debating. Amir Abdullah comes from training out here to training in here. And he knows it. He can hear it. Everybody can tell him.
So for those that are out there listening, the beeping that you're hearing is the football when it's being held and compressed properly into the body.
Properly.
It is now my old page tell going off from my old girlfriend.
Like Sky Pager.
Well, it's funny. Well, I don't know. Will these sense it out? Will they screen it? Because a cell phone will screen it out. I was on a video call one time, and I did it for them, and they couldn't hear it. Because
really?
A cell phone would mute it.
Maybe Randy or Ian can tell us. You guys tweet us. Can you hear the beep?
Yeah, who's the guy you know is listening, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is it or isn't it?
I can't imagine why. Yeah, I can't imagine why it would.
But it did it. And I tested it a couple times too. I'm like, wow, that's pretty good. No noise reduction on your cell phones.
Well, it's kind of like, you know what it reminds me of is that the golf club that if you swing it the wrong way, it like bends.
It breaks.
It breaks like halfway through. There's like that joint.
Yep.
But if you swing it proper. I've never, you know, I've golfed my whole life. I've never been able to use one of those and not have it break. Baseball swing, I'm stuck.
Yeah, duct tape it and just go.
Totally. It's like, I'm good. But, like, is this thing's being adopted to all the way up to the NFL?
It's, you know, ironic. You think the large market, there's over 16,000 high school teams, which is when I came about the idea. And I thought they'd be the first ones because that's where you have the most fumbles.
That's where you get your good habits going, basically,
and you,
right?
And you create habits. And in reality, it was just the opposite. I went to the combine and I met some coaches, and they were all about it because the margin for victory is so small. And, you know, that last year, the Bengals, Steelers, and Vikings all ended their season on a fumble.
Ooh.
By guys that, you know, two of the three don't usually fumble. One of them has fumbled the most, and he's not using it yet. So
Mike Dennis thought his PC was freaking out. It was
the sound is coming through.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so when you go to our practice, it's not a traditional practice anymore, you know, where the music's going. It's in the new age, and now music's going all the whole time. But you now hear the beeps the whole time during practice. And so that a coach knows, you preach the ball, the ball, the ball. And you go to the Dallas Cowboys, who are one of the first adapters, and down the hallway they have pictures every week of the ball, like positions of the people having it, positions of people not having it, and like opportunity. And so now they call it whistle while you work. So the ball is whistling because they are got it tight to their body, and it changes the way you hear practice. You know, that's where it caught on. The video and the press were there, and you're like, what's that noise? You know, all the older guys are checking their hearing aids, you know, changing the batteries. And the reality was now you know, there's no debating it. Now you know for sure. And
so I guess I'm thinking it through. So how does a player make that adjustment then between practice and game where, okay, practice you have beep, game you have no beep because you don't get to use your balls, ding, during game, during games.
Well, and what you didn't do, Dave, is muscle memory. How many repetitions does it take? You know, so Matt Jones is right now, he had – the Redskins running back, who they phenomenal athlete, would have been an All-Pro last year. Had one of those breakout years as a rookie and fumbled five times, lost four of them. You know, that's almost lost a job.
Right.
You know, so he's adapting. But what he's finding is all those habits from all those years, he goes, how long do I need to do this? I'm going, how many years have you been doing it wrong?
Right.
So that's – I just say, hey, equally amount of time doing it incorrectly, you've improved. Now let's do it that many years. You know, the other way, he's been going to his room with the ball. You know, he's taking it around driving the car. You know, and the other part that I've been – that's been unique is having debates about how you carry the ball. You got the five fingers. So
that's what I was going to ask you, not to jump in, but what old school coaches that think you're FOS, right? Are you getting that?
Son, we ain't fumbled the ball but two times last year.
Right.
How many games it cost you? Well, two. You know, it's like, well, we can't improve. I got in a debate with an NFL player that, you know, he's been out of the league for 15, 20 years, a Super Bowl guy, and he's like, you're telling me that a high-level athlete, an elite guy, isn't doing it right? What I'm saying, sir, is can he do it better?
Yeah.
And so can anybody do it better? And the reality of that, the NFL guys are probably guys that need to do it better more because everybody's such a great athlete. And they've been so superior their whole time, they didn't have to do it perfect.
Right.
Well, you look at
Abdullah. You catch him.
And guess what? The guy on the other side of the ball is a superior athlete, too. Yeah.
You look at Abdullah. He fumbled, what, 3-4 times? And all of a sudden, they're fumble prone. And now it's in his head. And all the media talks about it. And the basically can destroy a guy's career. You fumble a couple times early in your, you know. He was a rookie, too.
I mean, in my prototype, he didn't come out as a junior because of the 8 fumbles he had as a junior in Nebraska.
Right.
Because he's talented, been talented from the get-go. His position coach was Ron Brown at Nebraska, and okay. I know Ron very well. And he's like, Tom, we need this for Amir. I go, well, I'm not there yet. You know, I was showing him prototypes. And now that he's here in Detroit, I'm thinking, this is divine intervention, but we don't have him yet. You know, it's like, come on now, come on.
Of all the teams that need it, the Lions are never going to come on you.
I know.
And what was the tight end, right? The big, tall tight end that was throwing it out there, too, from Oklahoma State that we had. I was standing next to him in a
or not
airplane.
Pettigrew.
Pettigrew, oh, Brandon Pettigrew. I was standing next to him in line to go in the airport in DTW, and I was like, excuse me, sir, would you, I'm a big fan, you know, would you check out highandtight.com? No insults, but I think we could help you. I guess he fumbled the ball like 4 or 5 times
over
here.
Oh, yeah, he was Mr. Butterfingers.
Oh,
yeah.
My God, and he's such a phenomenal physical athlete.
It was more petadrop than it was petafumble. But.
Yeah. And so how do you approach somebody who's such a great athlete and tell them, hey, I want to help you.
Big fan, right. You suck. We can make you better.
Exactly. You have that conversation, right? My kids do that. I don't want to see their dad get beat down.
Right. So, as far as the technology is concerned, is that way any different than regular football? Is it any different size? What's the differences?
What we did, Nary, was we took basically every apparatus we use to prevent fumbles. Slick skins, weighted footballs, all that element, and we put it into the same thing. So
like the Tony Romo playoff football, like that's got like the slippery, like the big conspiracy theory.
Can that
like,
be deflated at all?
Is that anything like the Tom Brady playoff football?
No.
Deflategate was not sponsored by Hindsight, but we did underwrite the future because now it'll never be fumbled. It's 1.6 pounds, a little heavier, so a quarterback is right there. Does he feel comfortable throwing it? Does he not? We throw it about 5, 10, 15 yards as tops just to get the feel of it. Because when you're bringing 1.6 at them, you know, they realize it's, whoa, I got to be ready. And what we've found from the high school guys is they love the weight because now they get in a football game and what they're using feels light. They feel empowered. They feel strong.
Swinging a heavier bat but in warm-ups.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, the overweight training principle.
Right. So now let me ask you this. Like as a running back, you're taking that ball in blind, right? Quarterback's put it in your gut, and you're grabbing it. Now, the way you're teaching, the way to place those fingers in that X, not the cross, you know, how does
I so wish we had video in the studio right now.
You're looking like an idiot trying to hold a football. I make great radio, don't I?
My 5, 6, and 8-year-old can all do it. No, go back there. I'll teach you. Right. Take your index finger and your middle finger.
All right.
Put it on the top of the ball. There you go. Yep. X marks the spot. Widen your hand. Now flatten your wrist and do it. Make an X between your fingers.
All right. Uh-huh.
There you go.
Okay.
And now flatten your wrist to your chest. All right.
It's not beeping.
Something. I'm doing it wrong.
You're not okay at home. Now, the biggest thing is there are gaps. When I was working with Rod Woodson, the great defensive back of the Steelers, we talked about that. See the wrist, how it's cacked like that? Rod Woodson's like, yeah, I'm going to go for it right away.
Straight.
Boom.
Right.
He sees it. Yep, you want to flatten. It's all surface area is what it boils down to.
Hmm.
We'll get you.
We'll get me there.
No, but like, yeah, get you. As I was saying, like running back takes that ball in blind.
Yes.
Dumps in his gut. How does he know how to get his finger? Like how does he
doesn't adjust.
Right.
You can't. the game's too fast.
Right.
But what he does over repetitions, we had kids last year that by like game six or eight, I had a kid break second level and he kept the other hand on the ball. And I'm like, what are you doing, David? He goes, Coach, I didn't have it set right. I go, what do you mean? He goes, I could tell I was on the seams.
Right.
You know, just over that. A quarterback doesn't look for the laces. He just over time realizes he has or doesn't.
Sure.
And it just
laces out. Yeah, it's a ball.
No, so it was conditioning, muscle memory conditioning. I don't talk about that, but what I try to create is an awareness in our drills. They're doing that. So then when they get habits, repetition becomes habits. Habits becomes them. So when they get in the game, now they've been conditioned to clamp down on the ball. So now their natural instinct is to clamp. They might not get the beep, but they're still thinking about clamp.
Sure.
They're still thinking about surface area, protect your body. It makes me, I come unhinged when I see that ball out here for a moment.
So you make it, you don't make them walk into class and hold the football the whole all day. And
when you're in our, you have an issue, we'll talk about that. Mammary glands, we like to refer to them as, yes. You have to use your rib cage. You're a Cincinnati Bengal carrier. They do low and tight. They don't want high and tight. They want it away from the defense. So they keep it down to the side, and they condense it down with their rib cage away from the defense. So what we find is on the sideline, everybody, those balls are always in somebody's hands.
Bob is trying forever at home.
Come on, Bob. You can do it.
Where's the beat, Bob?
Here, do this, Bob. Put the logo on your forearm. Put the logo on your forearm. There you go. Flatten your hand down to the. Yep. There you go. Now squeeze your hand. Yep. Oh, you're going to go to the rib. Okay. Oh, he's almost there.
So close. Hey.
But the most important part is he's thinking about the position of the ball.
Right.
And those are habits that fast people don't think about. They think about running fast. That's it.
I can never run fast. I had to worry about what kind of the ball.
Well, we would give you the ball on the goal line then.
Right. Exactly. Refrigerator Perry.
Now, from a technology standpoint, so battery operated, replaceable batteries, how does that work?
The milliamp pole on our four, we have four coin cell batteries, you know, watch batteries, basically the 30, 20, 32s or 20, 32s where they are. The ball will disintegrate before you use that. You know, it's like for 2,100 hours.
Wow. Of beeping.
Of beeping.
Wow.
Yeah. So we've been using the same product sample for over a year now, six of them. And, you know, aside from some cracking and discoloration from all the sweat, they still beep and annoy the kids.
So are there any future asks to, like, put in sensors and whatnot? Because there's a few things, and I'm bringing this up for a reason. One is a deflate gate, right, which is big. And the other thing is crossing the goal line. And there's been talk about putting sensors on the goalposts or on the pylons, whereas the ball hits the pylon.
Zebra technology, what you're talking
correct,
about.
Correct, correct. I mean, has anybody approached you about kind of doing a 2.0 version of this, or are you just sticking to fumbleitis and – leaving it as
a glowing puck.
Well, right. What you're talking about is away from my IT technology, from my IP, my intellectual property.
Yeah.
Wilson has the pressure ball.
Okay.
That's that new ball it's launching out for Christmas in time for. It's pretty sweet. It's a, you know, double rotation and spin and all that. And then Zebra is taking the RFID element. Big Game is putting that chip into their football already.
Okay.
They've got them. Actually, when I was at the Redskins camp last week with Matt Jones, their ball's RFID tagged. So they can actually tell you where it is.
Oh, see, I didn't know that existed yet. I was
The NFL.
I assumed if I think everything. About it, it's already been done 10 times over. But
yeah, it's not a matter of if; it's a matter of when, and the right. When has usually probably already happened.
Because I mean, I work for Cisco, and IoT is really big, and they talk about just in like baseballs and basketballs and things like that. Like even like for pitchers to check rotation and you know. Spin and the you know all that stuff. That's a huge component now in training.
And that's what my kids want me to go into next is they're coming up through the little league. How do I throw a curve?
Sure.
Well, it's about pressure, really, on the baseball. They're like, well, Daddy, tell me where I need to put the pressure. And so that is a future adoption of our technology. But right now, we're building it out is getting it to the when I went through this, you know, the 16,000 high school teams and the you know the basically the 40,000 when you get the JV and freshmen. But that other market from 6-year-olds to 12-year-olds, it's twice the size of that.
Yeah. I was going to say, you should camp out in Texas for about 2 months with the building. Like, have you seen the stadiums they're building for high schools in Texas?
Yeah.
They're like more. $60, $80 million stadiums. Jesus. Holding like 15,000, 20,000 people.
For a town of 3,000.
Right. For high school football.
We are partnering with Texas High School Coaches, TexasHighSchoolFootball.com, and we're a partner on their trip this fall. And 2 weeks.
Like that Friday Night Light movie? Mm-hmm. Like yes. No fabrication in that from what I've understood. Like someone talking with that was intimate with that. Like that's how it is.
The entire town comes out.
That's right. Yeah.
The neighboring towns.
Wow. Yeah. And, everyone's got their front lawns or like QB1. You know, like yes. it's nuts.
Well, we were just there 2 weeks ago for their high school coaches association.
Okay.
It's business. It's more professional than the American Football Coach Association. They come through there. They got credit cards. They want to find the best, newest, adoptable product. And I sold out everything I had. I was like, wow, I should have brought more.
Right.
You know? And it was phenomenal. They're serious about football to no other. And then you got the little Friday night tykes.
Yeah. Oh, that? It's awful.
What's that?
That's embarrassing.
It's the football version of toddlers and tiaras.
Oh, no, the kids are like eight, right? Or maybe like seven or eight. And the coaches are like
almost had you.
Drop the ball, Johnny?
Oh yeah, like Mike Ditka on like steroids.
Yeah,
like, it's really bad. The parents are like cool with it because they want little Timmy to be QB1 on the West Texas.
Everybody's brand, going, you know, Division 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're bad in math. I would say they're bad in math, but you know the odds are. But their passion's good. I mean, let's channel their passion the right way, and let's teach them the right fundamentals, and that's what High and Tight hopefully will do for them.
So, how do we find you online? I think Randy posted on Twitter, but it's just highandtight.com, right?
All spelled out, and then on all the social media tags, it's @1.
So it's okay,
HIGHANDTIGHT1, because one fumble's too many. You know, I had a guy say, "Yeah, we only fumbled 5 times on 300 carries." Which is below the NFL average. The NFL average is 2%.
Sure.
I go, but how many games cost you? Well, it cost me 3. I'm like, you're going to mark, you know, hit me down on the price on that? You know,
yeah.
What would you pay to get those 3 games back? And he says, well, I'd pay $1,000 a piece. I go, well, they're only $170, $150 a piece.
Right.
Well, I'll get 3.
Yeah. Well, nice. It's no brainer.
I'll sign you up for 6.
Right. Yeah, and that's the part, is just educating the world. You know, all those teams that are out there, over 100,000 teams and kids, and they don't know that High and Tight exists yet. We launched in January, and aside from the 6 NFL teams and the over 24 NCAA teams, we got probably 50 or 60 high school teams using us.
Yeah, but you looked at, like, for me, it took me about, what, 4 times, three times. Then once you get it, you know you got it. I mean, I don't mean to be cliche, but it just, now I know that's where I, you know, so the next time it would probably take me 2 times, then I'll have it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
repetition.
Exactly.
I feel like that needs, we need to buy one, and that needs to be the new Bob's backyard party game.
Can you make it?
Shots, and then figure out the football.
No sculf to see who speaks.
Yeah. Like, so you're not allowed to talk until you make the ball beep. No.
But hey, Coach Tom, appreciate your time coming out. Look forward to keep in touch with us for your continued success, and look, good luck this football season.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Hey, we're going to be back segment 4 with Davina Bay from Dices talking about recruiting with our upcoming Pink Slip Party. Should have a lot of good insights on the IT job market. This is the IT in the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey guys, it's Timog, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D show.
Welcome back, segment 4, episode 158. And I've been pointed out by Randy on Twitter that we are the number 2 ranked sound IT podcast.
Who took it?
Damn USA Today on SoundCloud this week. So we got some work to do.
War.
I know, it's war. USA Today, we're coming for you. We're broadcasting here live, Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy, hanging out with Dave, the geek, Nuri, the FNG. Find us online, itinthed.com. Like we said, there's a casual meetup this Thursday over at the Blackfin Royal Oak, kind of where it all started, back room. No cover, no speeches, no sales pitches, just good old-fashioned IT folks hanging out and having good conversations. So hopefully you can make it out. But yeah, last but not least, we thank you for your patience. We've been joined by none other than Davina, who's a recruiter, one of our favorite recruiters. Was she episode 1 or was she episode 2?
Two. She came in with Eric and Elise.
You're right.
No, Eric and Michelle.
You're right.
Yeah.
So all the way back in episode 2, and you've decided to come back again. No, you've been like 4 or 5 times.
There's been a few others. Yeah.
But Pink Slip Party's coming up.
This is your first time here, though, in the new studio, right?
In the new studio, yeah.
But, you know, you've been recruiting now for a pretty long time, if they don't mind me saying. It's a good thing, though.
No, it is.
You get to learn more and more and more. But so Pink Slip Party's coming up. So, I mean, everyone's dying to know what's, you know, we talk about what's hot in the job market. And we kind of know the basics, but I guess kind of fill us in on what's been going on in the market.
It's been pretty crazy in the market, especially here in Detroit right now, with
all of the newer positions that are definitely coming to play now. There's a lot of different companies who are now actually adopting Chef.
Hello there, children.
Hi, Chef.
Yes.
So for those at home who don't know, or if you're in IT and you don't know, what is Chef?
Hello, children.
Otherwise,
you're welcome to 5 minutes ago, Bob. I already did.
Right. I did it again. I wanted to do it. Welcome back, Bob.
Chef is actually a new DevOps engineer tool that's out there that sounds like you're working in a kitchen when you're actually developing new applications on different servers and you're going into the Chef supermarket.
It's the smorgasbord.
And every company is into it right now, basically, because people are trying to automate and deploy things faster. And so Chef is a technology that allows them to do repeatable things and do them faster, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Wait, so there's something better than like Maven and Jenkins and...
Oh, no, it's with Jenkins. Jenkins is included in this, but it's actually it's Linux-based with AWS. So,
but lots of companies are hiring for it, so this is a technology that you could get into and probably get a job pretty quickly.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Absolutely.
So in case you missed it, say, hello there, Chef.
Hello, children.
So right now, just in Detroit, we've seen more... We've seen more of like a surplus of more of your higher end positions. So, like I said, the application engineers, the network security. There's been a lot of securities that have been breached now lately. So we're just seeing a lot more.
There are hacks that are happening.
Yeah, more than normal now. Even actually, some of the help desk positions that I've started to see actually have a little bit of network security involved in it now too.
Well, good. I mean, we've always told people, you know, that the whole path thing, you know, go get your A+, Net Plus, Security Plus. There's your starting point.
Yeah. So I would just continue that. Anybody who's going to go to the pink slip party, don't wear a tie. Don't. Please don't.
We've had that out there forever.
We'll make fun of you. We'll pull your tie off and put it on top of your head.
Can we cut people's ties off, please, please, please?
Even if it's a PBR tie, I might wear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Damn it.
On principle. Oh, you got one to match the jacket?
No, I was going to Google it right now and see if there was one available so I could wear it.
So DISYS, it's D-I-S-Y-S. Yes. So what is DISYS in particular looking for right now?
Depending on where you are in the market, they verticalized us.
Okay.
So... we have our energy group, our diversified group, our BFSI group, our healthcare group.
Wait, so why would somebody in the energy industry, for instance, be different from somebody who works at my company, for instance, Expedia? How is a technologist different for those things?
It's actually the verbiage and what's used inside the travel world compared to what's used inside energy. Because you have your NERC, you'll have NERC certs for... the energy, and then for Expedia, we could end up having, you know, the travel piece of it and understanding the global aspect.
So it's not just looking for technologists, it's for looking for people who understand the technology and understand how it fits in the bigger ecosystem, basically, of your company.
Correct.
Interesting.
Correct. A lot of recruiting companies have now done this verticalization. I'm even more niche to the point where I deal with more infrastructure positions than I do an application position or your project managers, your business analysts. So I will deal with anything from network security all the way up to like someone with a CCIE or even a help desk.
Was it last year, Bob, where we had our minds blown because someone showed up looking specifically, like they were looking for a network engineer?
Oh,
and we both did the whole network engineer. Right. That's a job title I haven't heard.
it wasn't just a network engineer. It was something specific. But yeah, you don't like those guys must not be in the market for very long because
they're not.
It's still happening. Like it's not like network's gone away, right?
Right.
It's not a network of convergence, Bob.
Hyperconverged.
I've been passed by with convergence.
Or even like the whole decommissioning. Decommissioning is one of the biggest things that are going on right now because they have all these data centers and then they have the old servers. They need to add the new ones or they need to move an entire data center to somewhere else because they've outgrown it.
Your physical to virtual is happening all the time, right? So you're pulling out old boxes and putting in new UCS blades or things like that.
Yep.
Interesting.
And I think that's really interesting, too. The point you brought up, I think it would be a good thing for a company because you're getting specialized people to your vertical, but also for the talent themselves, right?
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, you're putting them to use in somewhere that they're familiar with, that they like. And then with you being specialized as a recruiter, you're actually now speaking their terms.
Correct.
You're not just some weird cold calling recruiter like, hey, do you do ERP systems?
Right.
What's ERP?
Right, exactly.
An ERP system.
Do you do the C pound?
Are you diabetic? C sharps?
Yeah. Well, and I guess is there a flip side to it though? Because you know, am I getting thrown into a niche then? Like, am I limiting my options by saying, yeah, I'm a healthcare guy? Because I mean, that's always been one of the things we've talked about a lot, is that transferability of, you know, technical skills. The verbiage and the terminology might be a different thing entirely, but. Yeah,
the way IT guys go, you know, you only have so many healthcare companies that you can work for, and it's like I'm going to work for this company, and they got bought by Beaumont, and I'm working for them again now.
Like pretty much.
Know, I mean, that's what's happening in IT now. How many guys that I know that left HP and got acquired, went to a new company, and got acquired by HP? Like, you're getting the broom.
And can I get my old email address back, please?
I have Bob W at HP back. That was a great address. Everyone wondered how I got that one. Anyway.
I mean, it comes down to searches, too, especially with some of the jobs that we're doing. We do a lot more, like, Boolean searches and stuff. And if somebody has a healthcare background, but let's say that manager specifically is looking for someone that came from this background, I wouldn't call them. But if we have a broader background that we can use, then I could call that person from healthcare for that position on the diversified side.
That's really interesting to me. I never thought about that companies would actually say, I'm looking for someone specifically in my vertical.
It's happened.
Wow.
It honestly has. More specifically in the healthcare, they want someone that knows the healthcare lingo and that healthcare background.
And HIPAA and all the things.
Correct.
That come along with those protections.
So they don't have to.
I think it's more of a security thing than anything.
Yeah.
Like a network engineer, who cares? Topology is topology, but when you bring HIPAA in, it changes the game.
Yeah, especially if you're a SQL engineer or
right.
some kind of developer. Right, totally.
I see it more with project managers and business analysts.
Ooh.
Yeah. So when you're dealing with, especially like on the energy side, and knowing that NERC part, for a business analyst, knowing what NERC is and how it applies to someone in the energy field, then you're golden.
And not having to spend that first 2 to 3 months ramping up on, give me an acronym list, give me a data, you know, give me a dictionary, give me, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it takes a good year at HP and Cisco. Here's our acronym. I still don't know. Like someone threw an acronym at me and I went deer in headlights and like, you know, I totally pulled a Chris Pratt. Like at this point, I'm too afraid to ask. You know what I mean? So I had to like sit and Google while we're talking. I'm like,
oh yeah, the rotator splint.
Right.
Totally.
<I'm> like,
yeah. Well, even with project managers in the healthcare, I see it more on the healthcare side than I do on other positions. Just again, it comes down to that HIPAA law, and they already understand. They know what they need to do. They don't have to be out in the open going, okay, so I'm not allowed to do this because of this reason. Are you kidding me? Like,
how am I supposed to do my job when I can't do blank?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. We never do that.
Are you kidding? We do it all the time.
We never do that.
A little late to the party, but Randy said he's wearing his Looney Tunes tie. Get over, you're going to have to deal with it.
No.
So other than wearing a tie, Davina, what's something that would turn you off from a candidate? Like, what do you see out there that are like red flags or people that you know you wouldn't want to work with based on something they've done or something in their resume?
Don't bring your resumes. Just bring your cards. Make cards. Put exactly what you do on there. So if you're a project manager, what type of project manager are you? You're a help desk person. Okay, you got a couple certs. You're entry level. Put entry level on the card. We'll get in touch with you after. That's just the biggest thing, because at the end of the night, you find resumes all over the place because people don't want to bring them home.
Oh yeah, I mean we've told that to people from day one. Was you don't want to carry around a stack of your resumes all night. The recruiters don't want to carry around a stack of everyone's resume all night.
I think they still do though, because it's like this comfort. Like,
well, but like I can understand.
These are my words.
These are my words.
Right.
I will read them to you.
Right.
Yeah. nice gross point blank reset. I can see having like a copy. Like, so if you wind up getting into an in-depth discussion with a recruiter and that kind of stuff, you can say, hey, look, I have, let's, you know, show me what on here you like, what you don't like, that kind of stuff. But that should be your only copy. Like that should be your copy that you keep for your reference. And
what, yeah. But why would you even do that? Because you can have a digital copy right on your app from Google Apps.
Yeah, true.
You know, and you can show them right then and there.
And then you're not carrying around a binder either.
Correct.
Because, yeah.
Everyone should have a Trapper Keeper.
Bring those back. Like that, no, I went like taking my kids back to school shopping. I'm like, where's like a good old school Trapper Keeper? They don't exist.
No, they don't.
No.
And, like the whole backpack every year and like lunch pill every year, that doesn't exist either. Like,
yeah, it does.
Oh, yeah, it does. Oh, yeah, it that's does. A thing.
Oh, my kids have had the same backpack for like 3 years now.
Well, you're a horrible dad.
They're no longer cool. You realize
that. Yeah.
No, I got them the soccer Adidas bags. They don't need another one.
Oh, well.
What cartoon characters? There's nothing like. It's all Five Nights at Freddy's. There's nothing good anymore. Anyway.
So, no, Mike. So, Johnny, it was so excited. And I know we're totally sidetracking
for a second.
He's so excited because he's really into basketball right now. And so his backpack not only has, like, basketball all over it, but it has a basketball. And when you unzip this one part, it lays out flat and there's a basketball net that pops up.
That's freaking cool.
So, like,
cool.
Sitting there playing – like, at lunch, he can play. But, yeah.
That's freaking cool.
There's a thing that I think it's Dwayne Wade or it's one of the stars made it. It's like it's an app driven hoop game for your bedroom. So like two doors in your bedroom and you put the hoops up. Remember like Nerf ball
when
we were kids? But like there's an app that like keeps score and like plays highlights and like will film it. And, like cheer and like
wow.
Yeah, if I find it, I'll look it up.
Oh,
it was
Lord.
It was an infomercial, so they usually had it. You know,
of course.
Like half asleep.
Yeah.
So back to Dices. So I guess walking into whether it's the event Thursday night or the one next month, the Pink Slip Party down at the Majestic, like what sort of positions do you know that you're looking for?
Here in Detroit?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I think that there's just a new one that came out this morning. I think – let me double check here. Sorry, too many positions today. Too many things in my head.
Ding.
Yeah, it was – reaching for the bell. I'm like, ah, it was – thank you.
There is actually a project manager that just came out this morning for a position in Detroit. I know of a few other SAP developers that are coming through the pipeline here too in the next month for also downtown Detroit.
You know, and honestly, like that's one of the things that it kind of cracks me up. Like, and I talk about this with folks from Great Lakes or, well, Halo. Like I remember, and it wasn't that long ago, when you could not – get people for love or money to take a job downtown.
Right.
And now it's like the cool thing. Like
right.
That's where people want to be. It's great to see that happen. But
Have you seen downtown lately? Have you seen all the changes?
Yeah. Just roamed around there last week.
Yeah. So was I. And I mean, I've never roamed around downtown. And a couple weeks ago, I hung out with some friends and we went for a walk.
Get you on one of Calvin's tours.
No, but even like just to go downtown and go play basketball or go play checkers or chess or...
Oh, yeah, it's got all the food trucks everywhere and just all that. Yeah, it's very, very cool down there now.
It's completely different from 5 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Different from 3 years ago.
Yeah. Well, the last time I was downtown was 5 years ago, so...
Right.
You know, for me, like, to even be down there, I was scared. You know, this year, like, I went to the opening day for Tigers, and then now... couple weeks ago I was walking downtown, I was like, this is pretty cool, and I want to go back and go hang out some more just to really see what it was. And I was one of those people that would never drive downtown for work. Maybe in the future I'd actually consider it because of everything that it's got now. It's not as a scary place as it was.
Or as my kid put it, when we brought the kids in to the studio for Kids Day when we were still downtown, on the lodge, as we crossed that first hill where you can like first see the city skyline and everything, from the back seat I hear my son, who was 3 or 4 at the time, go, "Dad, is that Gotham?"
That's great.
And I was like, well, John, depending on who you ask, yes.
So, Davina, if I'm in the recruitment flow, how do I be a good candidate? So if I'm looking for a job and I'm working with a recruiter, how do I be somebody that's easy to work with for you once you already have my resume and we're talking?
Just have an open mind when I'm sitting here. And if I tell you that, hey, we need to change up a few things on your resume, just make it look more presentable. The hiring manager is looking for A, B, and C, and you only have A and B, but we just talked about C and it's not in your resume. Let's add it. Add more in depth sometimes too about A and B for them, because you've only listed it 3 times on your resume or twice,
that's not going to be enough for the manager sometimes. So having an open mind and being okay to constructive criticism, that's what I look for when I'm talking to a candidate. Because if you don't have an open mind, how are you going to be with that manager?
Totally.
And I don't want to have to backfill you in the future. You know, like, so let's just skip it. Have an open mind. Be realistic about your salary too. I know everybody bullcraps. Everybody wants more money. So instead of saying, here's what I'm looking for, give a range. You know that you need $5 more an hour. Okay, great. So you can go 5 to 10 more. I'm making $60,000 right this moment. I would like to be more closer to 70. If my sweet spot would be 68, and I want to stay right there. And let them know. Just be upfront and honest, because if you're not, and you just throw out a number, the recruiter on the other side is going to go, okay, great, I can make this much money off of you, so this is what I'm going to do instead. And I'm going to give you that lower rate. So give yourself a range. Obviously bump it up a few extra bucks, and then you should get exactly what you're looking for.
I mean, so what are some of the most egregious, like, that guy examples from, like, especially from our events?
Don't use names.
Obviously lying is number one, right? Getting seen through it. But, I mean, other than that, I could foresee, like, people arguing with you when you're telling them.
Well, I think the candidates that vanish are probably the biggest pains in the ass.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear that from everyone. That, oh, yeah, life's going good. They went on the interview, and then whoosh. Crickets.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It happens more frequently.
Is it because they found a gig and they just didn't want to, like, tell
anyone? Or they didn't like it and they didn't like who they interviewed with and didn't want to give that kind of feedback. Or, there's always one of my – the MBA candidate, the married but available. They're not really looking for a new job, but they'll go out.
They just want to know they can.
They want to be the pretty pony princess and, yeah.
We've actually had that happen a couple times now. The biggest thing right now is actually there's one candidate I'm working with right now who had an interview a week and a half ago. We've called, emailed him. He finally responded through email. He will not take our calls for whatever reason. But no matter what, this person's supposed to get an offer tomorrow, and he said he would accept the offer. But he's only told me through email. So
I'm calling you to give you a job.
Correct.
Now, are you warning the prospective employer that this may flake? Or you were, like, just rolling dice and saying, all right.
Well, considering the brutal interview process that he went through, I don't blame him for not wanting to pick up a phone for
so
us.
So he needed
right
to go down to Mexico and take a breather after the interview process.
He spent 2.5 hours on a phone interview.
Oof.
It was a 5-panel interview. And Nuri, the company. And then they did a 2.5-hour, 30-minute Skype call with every five same people did a 30-minute Skype call with him.
Individually?
Individually.
At that point, aren't they just reading from a book at that point, these questions? They're probably all these canned garbage questions.
Tell us
a time when you felt angry.
Yeah, and how did you handle that?
Well, the thing is that you have people who are sitting overseas and then you have people who sit here in the States. So you can't just have one whole group doing it. And I was trying to avoid that by saying, okay, you three people can do it at this time. You two people can do it at this time. No. 30-minute individual calls.
Oof.
Thank you very much. So I don't blame him for not wanting to.
That's a little bit much.
So Davina, how do we get a hold of you if someone needs a gig?
Find me on LinkedIn. My email address is davina.beh@disys.com, D-I-S-Y-S. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me from IT and the D through Dave, Bob, and Nuri. There'll be links.
She's in our What is IT in the D video.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, I am.
And you'll be at the Pink Slip Party, right?
I will be at the Pink Slip Party. I will not be at Thursday's event, but I will be at the Pink Slip Party. Come in, have a good time, have a beer, hang out. Don't be nervous. Everybody's there. We'll guide you in the right
have
path.
Have a beer, not 37 beers.
True. Have a beer.
I will have the 37 beer. Beers. But hey, this is going to wrap things up for episode 158 of the IT and the D Show. On behalf of our awesome sponsors, Lenovo and Igloo, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for listening. We'd also like to thank Davina from Dices, Tom from High and Tight, Christina from Spellbound Books. It's been an awesome discussion. On behalf of myself, Bob, Dave, and Nuri, we'd like to appreciate all the time you ever spend with us and come see you at our future events. Just do us all a favor and drink up your drinks, get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. Drive careful. See you next week. Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your ass. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, warn the truth. Ohms. 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 Ohms.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just like doing like stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now.
I love this city. I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.